The gospel lesson for this morning is from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20. Hear now God's word. Then Pharisees and legal experts came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why are your disciples breaking the elders' rules handed down to us? They don't ritually purify their hands by washing before they eat." Jesus replied, "Why do you break the command of God by keeping the rules handed down to you? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and the person who speaks against father or mother will certainly be put to death. But you say, 'If you tell your father or mother everything I'm expected to contribute to you, I'm giving to God as a gift,' then you don't have to honor your father. So you do away with God's law for the sake of the rules that have been handed down to you. Hypocrites! Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty, since they teach instructions that are human rules.' Jesus called the crowd near and said to them, 'Listen and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that contaminates a person in God's sight. It's what comes out of the mouth that contaminates the person.' Then the disciples came to him and said, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended by what you just said?' And Jesus replied, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father didn't plant will be pulled up. Leave the Pharisees alone. They are blind people who are guides to blind people. But if a blind person leads another blind person, they will both fall into a ditch.' Then Peter spoke up, 'Explain this riddle to us.' And Jesus said, 'Don't you understand yet? Don't you know that everything that goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what goes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And that's what contaminates a person in God's sight. Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual sins, thefts, false testimonies, and insults. These contaminate a person in God's sight. But eating without washing hands doesn't contaminate in God's sight." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And so we continue to look at these great reversals in Scripture and what it means to be a disciple. And today we see that we need to be authentic to be accepted. What Jesus is talking about with these religious leaders is a question of authenticity and hypocrisy. A question of what is the condition and nature of their heart. You see, they were pretty content in who they were as children of Abraham, as the people of God. And we might say the same thing today. Many of us as Christians, especially if we've been raised in the church, have sort of had this idea all our lives that we are God's children, that we are God's people. But the problem was that in many ways they weren't living like God's people. They were so nitpicky about the ways that they followed the law, but they weren't so careful when it came to issues of justice, compassion, mercy, unconditional love for those who were oppressed. Instead, their religion was in many ways on the surface. And just like the prophets who came before, Jesus was trying to call them back to the faith of their ancestors, trying to call them back to the faith that they already knew. They had taken the idea that they were children of Abraham as a birthright, as a privilege, that they were automatically born into right relationship with God. And sometimes we feel the same. But what we forget, the same thing they forgot, is that being a child of Abraham was not about being a privilege that made them somehow better or more special than everybody else. Rather, it was a calling to continue to go out and bless all the nations. When God said to Abraham, I will bless you above all nations so that you can be a blessing to all people. That's the part we miss somehow. Somehow we get that idea of, I will bless you above all nations, and we feel like God has chosen us and God has made us special and God has called us as his people. And so we are accepted then by God. We belong in God's family, and all those other people, well, you know, that's their choice. They just need to get in here and be part of God's family. Instead, what we miss is that our identity as a believer, our identity as a child of God, is not just a privilege or a position of status in God's eyes, but a calling to continue to be a blessing to others. So we fall into the same trap of these religious leaders that Jesus is speaking to. We've turned Christianity into an identity marker, or sometimes just a ticket to heaven, rather than a calling and a way of living our lives in love. We can count many, many scriptures that reemphasize the fact that Christianity is more about how we live than just what we believe. Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will get into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. And on the judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and even cast out demons in your name and do miracles in your name? And I will tell them, I've never known you. Go away from me, you who do wrong. Then in James, we heard earlier about the tongue and what comes out of the mouth, very similar to what Jesus said in our Matthew 15 passage. But he also says in James chapter 1 that you must be doers of the word and not only hearers who mislead themselves. That those who hear but don't do the word are like those who look at their faces in a mirror and then walk away and immediately forget what they were like. But there are those who study the perfect law, the law of freedom, and continue to do it. They don't listen and then forget, but rather they put into practice in their lives. They will be blessed in whatever they do. He goes on, if those who claim devotion to God don't control what they say, they mislead themselves and their devotion is worthless. But true devotion, the kind that is pure and faultless before God, is this, to care for the orphans and the widows in their difficulties and to keep the world from contaminating us. Very similar to passages that we find in Isaiah when God condemns the worship and the devotion of the people as hollow and superficial and says, rather learn to do justice and mercy. And then 1 John, the entire letter of 1 John, really, but especially verse 20 of chapter 4, those who say, I love God and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brother or sister whom they have seen can hardly love God who they have not seen. And so if we want to claim our identity as children of God, Scripture seems to have a lot to say about how we are to live and how we are to act, not just accepted by virtue of our identity, but that we must be authentic all the way to our hearts in how God's love and compassion overflows through us, comes out of us in word and in deed. If we want to honor a parent, the best way to do it is to show love and care for their children. The same is true with God. If we want to honor God as our heavenly parent, the best way to do it, it seems, is to show love and care and concern for God's earthly children. Christianity, unfortunately, in our culture, has become more of a noun than an adjective or a verb. It should be a description of who we are rather than an identity marker. You see, we can disguise ourselves as just about anything we want. We could put on a doctor's uniform and go into the hospital and slip into some patient rooms, and you know, maybe we even do something right, give them the right medicine occasionally, and then it might make them feel a little bit better. But it doesn't make us a doctor. We could go in with a suit to a lawyer's office, and we might even give somebody some decent advice once in a while. But we're not lawyers. The reality is that we have to be authentic all the way through who we are. We can't just put on the Christian label, put on the suit, put on the uniform, and somehow identify as children of God. Benjamin Corey puts it this way. He says that we have taken the message of Jesus and the biblical mandate to pattern our lives after him and reduced it to the near effortless act of accepting Jesus into your heart. It's become a bizarre religion where one can actually refer to themselves as Christian while at the same time disagreeing with what Jesus taught. I've seen this firsthand. I've been in a situation where somebody was very angry with something that was said in a sermon, and she came in, and she was at least blatant enough to say, I know this is what you said. I mean, it was the words of Jesus, it was Sermon on the Mount. I mean, he said it flat out. It was red letters, even in her Bible. She couldn't deny it. And she admitted it. She's like, I know this is what Jesus says, but I have to go with my gut. I admire her honesty, but also saddened by the idea that somehow we can paint ourselves as Christian, as followers of Jesus, and simply say, yeah, but that teaching doesn't really work for me. I got to go with what I feel. Heard it in other circumstances when we talk to church leaders and we say things about, say, for example, you're supposed to go to your neighbor who has offended you. Jesus says to go to them, and if that doesn't work, to take leaders of the church with you and to go to them. And we were having issues in this particular church about people that would not go. They just kept talking behind each other's backs and talking behind our backs. And we confronted the leadership with this and said, you all are the leaders of the church. You all need to be the ones to set the example. If somebody's not comfortable, bring them to speak to us directly about their concerns. And the response, again, well, yeah, Jesus said that, and that might work just fine in his day, but that's not really how we operate today. It doesn't work anymore. These were good church leaders. These were otherwise people we would consider good Christians. These weren't the people we were, you know, having problems with. They were good Christian people. And yet, they were willing to say flat out, those words that Jesus taught us, they just don't really work well in our society. I don't think they worked well in Jesus' society either. If they did, he wouldn't have gotten killed. But somehow we seem to think it was so easy for them and so irrelevant and so hard for us to follow these teachings. Benjamin Corey continues on. He says, that's not how this is supposed to work. If one disagrees with Jesus, the word Christian ought not apply. In American Christianity, he says, we use Christian as a noun when it should be an adjective. It wasn't about something you were, but something you were doing. You were actively living out the teachings of Jesus, and this was observable in how your life mirrored what Jesus did and what Jesus taught. And so we cannot claim someone else's fruits to be our own Christian identity. We have to bear fruit ourselves. We have to actually live like Jesus. The word Christian simply means little Christ. You can't be a little Christ if you don't look anything like Christ. It's just not who you are. You can claim the name all day long, but it is not authentic. It is not honest. We can say, oh, I'm a Christian because I was born into a Christian family. And I was raised in the church. And that's exactly what those that Jesus was confronting were saying. We were born into the Jewish family. We were born into the people of God. We were circumcised. We followed all the laws. We are children of Abraham. But we cannot inherit our parents' fruits and somehow think that is enough for us. 1 John 2, he writes, this is how we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. ignorance. The one who claims, I know him, while keeping his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But the love of God is truly perfected in whoever keeps God's word. This is how we know we are in Christ. The one who claims to remain in him ought to live the same way he lived. And again in 1 John 1, verse 8, if we claim we do not have any sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all wrongdoing. And so over and over and over again we see we must claim our identity as Christians for ourselves by following in the way that Jesus taught, the path of unconditional love, to be accepted as children of God. Is not to simply claim the name, but rather to live the life that God has called us to live. Matthew 15, Jesus tells us, as we read earlier, that what comes out of the mouth is from the heart. That our condition with God is not a private matter. It's not something we can just say internally that, yeah, me and God are good. It's how we speak. It's how we live. It's how that flows out of our heart that reveals our true character, that reveals whether or not we are disciples. John 8, whoever keeps my word will never die. It's not about earning our way to heaven, but rather authentically being followers of Christ that will naturally change the way we live. Somebody might say, oh, no, we can't earn, we can't say that our salvation is about our works and our deeds. I'm not saying that at all. But what we are saying is that if we truly have the Holy Spirit within us, and if we've truly surrendered our lives to Christ, then that Holy Spirit in us cannot produce bad fruit. As James says, toxic water and spring water can't flow from the same source. And yet somehow both blessings and curses seem to flow out of the same mouth. This cannot be. It is because being a Christian and identifying ourselves with Christ transforms so much of our lives that we cannot help but do good works. And so I want to invite us as we turn to the table, as we come again to consume the bread and the juice, as we come to take Christ into our hearts and our lives and our souls in this symbolic act, want to invite us to examine our own hearts, to examine whether or not we are authentically living our lives as Christians, not only in name, but in the way we follow Jesus' teachings. And so we have a wonderful prayer of examine found in Psalm 139. And you'll find that in your bulletins. And I invite us to pray that together. I realize I did not grab a bulletin this morning. And so I want us to use this Psalm 139 as an opportunity to prepare our hearts, to examine whether or not our lives are authentically in Christ. And so let us slowly pray this together and consider whether we are Christian by only our word and our belief, or by every action and deed, by every desire of our hearts that flows forth from our lives. And so Psalm 139, follow along in the bold and pray this together. O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely.
You hem me in behind and before me and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
Where can I go from your spirit?
Or where can I flee from your presence?
For it was you who formed my inward parts.
You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works that I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed.
How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end, and I am still with you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting.
O Lord, we come to the end of ourselves, sometimes to the end of our rope, always clinging to you in belief, trusting that you are still with us and that we are still with you. And yet, inside, we know there are places we hide. There are things that we keep secret. There are things that we hope you will overlook. There are attitudes and convictions and maybe even things that we have said and done that don't align with your teachings, but somehow it seems okay because it's just how life works these days. And we have to go with our gut. And so, Lord, we come and confess. We come and ask you to forgive our sin. And we come even now as we prepare to come to the altar to receive your gift of grace, that you would search us, that you would know our hearts, that you would test our thoughts, that we would no longer be able to deceive ourselves, but that we would truly be authentic in that our outer life and our inner life would match and would align with the life that you modeled for us. And so if there is any sin in us, Lord, lead us in your way. Forgive us, transform us, and set us on the right path this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.